Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for tuning in to the Light of Portland with Pastor Sherelle. Let's talk about the things that affect the body of Christ in this world today and how we can truly impact the world. Enjoy the next song, and following that will be the voice of Pastor Sherelle live in Portland.
An olive has to go through three stages for its oil to run. It has to go through the shaking, the beating, and the pressing. And just like the olive, some of you may have felt like you go through the shaking, the beating, and the pressing. You went through all of that for your oil to flow. Now your greater is coming.
If it had not been for the shaking, I never would have been ready for the making. No. If it had not been for the beating, I would have never knew how anointed I would be. Oh yeah. If it had not been for the pressing, I wouldn't be able to walk into my destiny. He's preparing me, preparing me, preparing me for greater. I feel a shaking in the spirit. I feel a beating in the spirit. Oh, I feel a pressing in the spirit. Preparing me for greater. I feel a shaking in the spirit. Oh, I feel a beating in the spirit. Oh, yeah. I feel a pressing.
Oh, my greater is coming.
Hello, praise the Lord. And we are so excited that we know that our greater is coming. Have you declared your greater in the atmosphere? Have you said what it is that you know that God has for you? Have you written it down so that you can begin to minister to yourself about the vision that God has prepared and put into you? Your greater is coming. My greater is coming. I'm declaring it. I'm receiving it. I'm even going to say, as she did, it is already here. Good evening, good evening, and good evening. Thank you so very much for tuning in to the Light of Portland broadcast. I am Pastor Sherelle Pennington, and we are live here in Atlanta, Georgia, during the Holy Convocation 2018, because we know this is the year that we will see it. And if you are in the greater Atlanta area, I invite you to come out to 5883 Highway 155 in Stockbridge, Georgia, and join us for a holy convocation. You can go to comeintothelight.org and all the information about Holy Convocation will be on the website, comeintothelight.org. We look forward to having you and worshiping with us, because we know that there is a word from God on high. I am so excited about what God is doing, not only in my life, but here in the Portland, Oregon area. We are excited about the move of God, the changing of the mantle. We are excited about what is happening and the ground that is being broken in order for God to be able to touch the hearts of the people so that they may begin to call upon his name, that souls might be saved, that those that are sick may be healed, that lives may be changed, and you may be the very groundbreaker that God is calling in order to touch somebody's life. So don't be afraid if you don't have a title. You don't need a title to be the minister of God, because everyone that is saved is called to minister. So I invite you to begin to declare and decree. I invite you to be the light, the city set upon a hill, and begin to minister to people around you. You don't have to say anything to minister. Just be the light and change your soul, change your life, and allow the kingdom of God to add to it because of the life that you live. What is happening in Portland, Oregon? As you know, those of you that tune in to the Light of Portland, we have prayer every Tuesday at 11 p.m. Pacific Standard Time and Thursday at 5 p.m. and 11 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. If you desire to be with us in prayer, if you desire just to listen in so that you know that there is someone on the throne of God praying for you, you can join us in prayer. That number to dial in on Tuesdays at 11 p.m. and Thursdays at 5 p.m. and 11 p.m. is 774-220-4000. Again, that number is 774-220-4000. And the access code to dial in is 55558. We want to worship with you. We want to pray with you. We want to minister to you. So join in with us on prayer. And when you dial in, put your phone on mute so that no one can hear you. Amen. We are excited about the Word of God tonight, because we have with us for the first time Evangelist Renalda Hall. She is a woman of God on fire for God, a woman that is not afraid or ashamed to spread the gospel, a prophet, prophetic woman of God, an intercessor, a woman of God that will change your very essence if you allow her to speak into your life. I am excited that I have been able to meet with her and fellowship with her and being in ministry with her. I'm excited about the word that resounds in her body. I'm excited about what she has for the people of God. And I want you to prepare your heart. I want you to prepare your mind. I want you to begin to stir your ground so that you can be receiving of the word of God tonight, so that we can add water to your field, that it may grow aplenty. Amen. Let us thank God for the Butterfields and for Archbishop Ruth W. Smith. The Butterfields provide us with this platform to minister the word of God on every week. We are here every Sunday evening at 8 p.m. And for those of you that know Archbishop Ruth W. Smith is a woman of God who is just on fire for the Lord and steadfast and doing great work. She is the presiding prelate of Light of the World Christian Tabernacle and Light of the World Covenant Fellowship. And to Bishop Belinda Campbell, who is my spiritual mother and covering, we greet you and bless you in the name of Jesus. To my very own mother, my play mother, and to all of those representing the household of faith, we greet you in the name of Jesus, and we're grateful that you have joined us this evening. Let us pray. Gracious and heavenly Father, we just exalt and magnify your name. Lord God, there is none like you, none before you, none after you, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, that we get to come together, gather in your name, because you're coming back for one church, oh God, in one mind, Lord God, one mindset that is set on you, Lord God, the unity of the faith. And so, God, we lift our hands and worship you today, oh God. We bow our knees and pray before you today, oh God. We prostrate ourselves, oh God, in honor and homage unto you, Lord God. And we pray that you would show up and show out, that you would allow Holy Spirit to reign and to rule and to have his way. Oh God, we pray for the woman of God tonight. We pray, Lord God, that you would endow her with your spirit, oh God, that you would rise up in her and allow her to speak what thus saith the Lord, oh God. I pray that you would allow every one of us to be attentive. Let us not put the phone down, oh God, but let us be so stirred up by the word of God that is being preached that we begin to put it on speaker that others may hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying tonight. Oh God, we just come to magnify you. We come to lift you up and exalt you. Lord God, we come to ask, oh God, that you would allow Jehovah Nisi, the Lord, our banner, to stand up, rise up, and go before us, oh God, that we may follow after you, Lord God. As you told Joshua to follow after the priest, oh God, we are following after you, oh God. And so we thank you, Lord God. We praise you, oh God. We magnify fire tonight, oh God, because we want to be like Jeremiah with a fire shut up in our bones, that we may touch, deliver, heal, set free, and anoint those, oh God, that want to come up to be a part of the body of Christ. Oh God, we want to be like Peter and allow the shadow of our very essence, oh God, to begin to heal those that are with infirmities, oh God. We just glorify your name. We magnify your name. We praise you, oh God. We are ready to receive your word tonight. We exalt you right now. We give your glory, oh God, in this house. We give you honor, oh God, for who you are. We give your praise and magnify you. In the name of Christ Jesus, we pray. Hallelujah. Thank you, God, and amen. Evangelist Ronaldo, you are live on the air.
To God be the glory. To God be all of the glory and all of the honor. I greet every man, woman, under the sound of the voice that God has given me and the blessings of the Lord. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Let's go to the word of the Lord. We're going to go to Psalms, the 30th chapter, starting at the verse number 1, a very familiar passage of scripture. Psalms 30. And 1, I will exalt thee, O Lord, for thou hast lifted me up and hast not made my foes to rejoice over me. O Lord, my God, I cried unto thee, and thou hast healed me. O Lord, thou hast brought up my soul from the grave. Thou hast kept me alive, that I should not go down to the pit. Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of the holiness. For his anger endureth but a moment, in his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. And in my prosperity, I saith, I shall never be moved. Verse number 8, I cried to thee, O Lord, and unto the Lord I made my supplication. Another familiar passage of scripture, we're going to go to Isaiah 40, and we're going to start at the 28th verse. Isaiah 40 and start at 28. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard? That the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, faineth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and shall be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. Verse 31, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up as wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. The last point of reference scripture is St. Luke, the 12th chapter, verse 47. Again, that's St. Luke, the 12th chapter, and we're going to start at verse 47. And that servant which knew his Lord's will and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. But he that kneweth not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with fewer stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more. I am come to send fire on the earth, and what will I if it be ready, already kindled? Just for a few moments, I want to deal with the subject. It's your season. Let the storm form. It has a job to do. It's your season. Let the storm form. It has a job to do. Season, just quickly, we know what season is, but if we were to think as if we didn't, we could take it to the natural, one of four periods of the year, spring, summer, autumn, and winter. Then it's a period of the year characterized by particular conditions of weather temperature, a period of the year when something is best or available, a period of the year makes by certain conditions activity. For a point of reference, let's go and see what a storm is. A disturbance of normal condition of the astronomy of the atmosphere, manifesting itself by wind of unusual force or direction. It's accompanied by rain, hail, thunder, lightning, flying sand, dust. It's a heavy fall of rain, and it's a violent outbreak of the thundering and the lightning. Sometimes it's accomplished by it's unaccomplished by a strong wind. It's called a violent storm. So it's different manifestations of what a storm can be. Form. It is the shape of a thing or a person. It's a body, especially the human body, something that's given or determines shape or molded, a particular condition, character, or mode in which something appears. Now, the last one, everybody wants one. It's a job, a piece of work, especially a specific task done as part of the routine of one's occupation or of an agreed price, a post of employment, whether full-time or part-time. Anything a person is expected or obligated to do is their responsibility. An affair, a matter, a state of affair, the matter, the project, the assistance, different things of what it means to have a job. If you will, the three points of scripture, Psalms 30 and 1 through 8, Isaiah 40, 28 through 31, and St. Luke 12, 47 through 49. We can't always lose control when a storm comes because it's all in God's hand. There is a purpose and a reason why we go through what we go through. A lot of times when we feel like we're in chaos, we're like, where is God? He's not listening, or maybe I'm not praying the right way, or maybe I'm not doing something right, or I'm not in the position, or it's not me, I'm unworthy. We can make excuses. We can have reasons as to why we're not doing or why God is not doing what we expect or think that he should do. But the blessings of it is you've got to understand that everything is a part of God's plan. The good days, the bad days, the rough days, the smooth days, the tough days, it's all a part of God's hand. We know and understand, as the song says, Jesus is the answer for the world today. But to understand him is to just evaluate, or to dissect God, not in the way of looking and trying to figure out why, but to understand him the more. You know, when you sit down and you've gone to the store and you've gotten all the ingredients for the meal that you want, and we prepare our food, you come in, you don't just come in and go right from the car and come in and just cook it, but you've got to wash, you've got to prep it, you get your favorite pot, you get your favorite utensils, you prepare. And when you're cooking it, sometimes you're in there and you begin to cook and you're preparing the food and you begin to let your mind wander, but there are times that that's the time for you just to talk to God. My mother is an amazing cook, and when she's in there preparing, she's praying, and the powers of the living God is going into the food. And a lot of times it's for the bereaved family. She used to do it to my brother, one of my brothers. She would cook. My brother was acting up and doing things in the world, and he loved my mother's sweet potato pies. And my mother began to prepare his pies, and he didn't have no idea that those pies was anointed, but Mama prayed over them. She prayed over the potatoes as she was cutting them. She prayed over the butter as she was preparing it, and the sugar as she was measuring it into the bowl. And so when she walked into my brother's house, he didn't know that she was coming on a mission. She was coming prepared to tell the devil, this is my child. God gave him to me, and I'm not going to let you have him. She'd walk in the door and say, hi, baby. Mama just came to bring you a pie. Sometimes she wouldn't even stay, just would step a foot through the door and give him the pie and turn around and walk back. That same man today is a called, appointed, chosen elder of the gospel, and the devil is trying to grip his body. He's dealing with cancer right now. But how many of you know that you got to go through the storm and to understand who God is? But a few years ago, he was tried and he was accused, and they were giving him 40 years in the state penitentiary, and he was supposed to get out in 2017, but I heard the word of the Lord say he would only do it 18 months, and he's walking free, but the storm is not over because it has a job to do. Sometimes we become so lackadaisian, and sometimes we forget from whence we've come from. Do you remember the moment when you first fell in love with him? I mean, do you remember the moment when you first opened up your heart and say, God, I want to know who you are. I want you to come in and commune with me. We've got to get into a place that every time we open up our mouth and we bow our heads in prayer, that could be driving down the street, that could be at home, that could be in your secret closet, that could be in the work. Place. Yes, you can pray in the workplace. You can talk to the Lord. A lot of times we can't walk around and verbally speak, but how many of you know you can pray with the prayer wheel turning down on the inside? We have to understand that everything happens in our life is according to a plan, or let me say tonight, a season. There is a season for everything. Now, as I said earlier, we know we have winter, spring, summer, and fall. My favorite time of the year is the fall. My birthday's in October, but I love how the trees turn so beautifully. I love when the rain falls. In Oregon, we deal with a lot of rain, but there's nothing more beautiful to me to see the rain fall, because I know from whence that rain comes. It's not Mother Nature, but it is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It is Jehovah Jireh. He is our provider. Can you imagine a world without water? Just imagine for a moment a world without water. Everything is strategically positioned for God to do what he needs to do. So to understand your season and what season you walk in is for you to understand what's to come with that season. We know in summertime, a lot of people like to enjoy the summer because I get to get out and do things outside, but there's just some people just don't want to go outside. So summer may not be their thing. There's some people that love winter and love the ice and the snow and how the icicles are falling and all these different elements. But you've got to understand, in order to appreciate one, you've got to accept all of them. And in order to, and a lot of times, as I said, you may not like it, but you got to take the good with the bad. You got to take the rough with the smooth. Everything is forming in your life for a reason. If we go to the beginning, when God created Adam, he created Adam in his own image, the word of the Lord says, created he them. In other words, before he even began to form Adam, he knew that he would take woman Eve out of Adam. Once we position ourselves not to take each other's place, but to walk in our rightful place, in this latter day, God is calling men and women to come together because we each have a job to do. That's why the enemy fights so much. Have you ever seen so much chaos in the home where the husband or the father is killing his children and his spouse and himself, and the other way around where the woman, the mother, is killing her own baby that she carried for 9 months, that she labored with, that she travailed against, and that she stood in the hands of death and said, I'm going to bring forth this child, forgetting that it was nothing but the grace of God that brought her through it. And yet and still months or weeks or years or a few days later, she can take that same life in her hands and choose to snuff it out. We are living in the day that the enemy don't care who you say you are. He cares about who you show you are. Let him know, even if you can't even speak a word, he knows who you are. He knows who you are by your very presence. Have you ever stepped into a room and as you walk into the room, all eyes turn to you? Or there's other times you walk in the room and you feel like you're in a room full of people, but you feel like nobody else is in there. When you're walking in your right season, then you'll know what time you are to be. Every season is not the best. Some are good, some are bad. I keep stressing that some are good or some are bad. I used to be in a place, I said, God, why is it always something happening? And God, why is there always something going on? It seems like when I get through one thing, something else comes and knocks the wind out of me. When it seems like I'm right there, I'm at the peak, but I just got to grab a hold and take one more step and I'll be on the mountaintop. But God began to share with me, if you don't appreciate your valley experience, how can you appreciate being on the mountaintop? We go to work day after day, and some working 8 hours and 12-hour shifts. I had it one particular time, and it was a graveyard shift. And it seemed like even though I was a night owl, it seemed like when I got to work, I'd get a little pep in my step. But about that 6th hour, I didn't want to be there. And I'm like, oh, I'm tired of this. I don't want to do this no more. Now, just mind you, 6 hours ago, I was pumped and ready to go. But when payday come, somebody say when payday come, when you get payday, oh, everything seems to be all right. You forget how many hours you worked to get there. You begin to thank God for blessing you when you know. Some people just say, I'm thankful, just make it. But when you know whom you serve, when you know who gave you the strength to get up every day, to get to the job, who blessed you as you traveled down the highway, who kept you, when you know from whom you've come and where you've come to be in a position to receive a paycheck, all you want to do is just tell God, thank you. So when you go through and it's your own, you're going to appreciate it more. You're not going to let anybody just walk up in your house and jump on your bed or walk to the dining room and put their dirty feet on the table or go in the kitchen and start throwing things around. But there is an order to your house. And everything in your house has its own particular place. And to form these things together is to know that there is a God, and he is a God of his word. He said, in order to reign with me, you got to go through some things. He said you were going to be persecuted. That's what he gave us the word for. You know, that's why the enemy fights us so much and don't want us to read our word. Because, you know, we read our word, we're going to get educated. Just as I said earlier about Adam and Eve and how they went through their process and how beautiful it was, and everybody has their own understanding of what it is, but I'm going to keep it the simplicity of it this night, if you would allow me to. The simplicity to understand our beginning is to know that God made a man, and he didn't want that man to go through the journey by himself, but he wanted to send him a helpmeet, to send him some strength. We got to stop belittling what God does, or how come God didn't give me no more, and how come I can't be no bigger. And today in convocation, as the word of the Lord began to speak one word after another, after another, and they weren't even, you would have thought that they had come together and begin to just study together and bring the word, but each one had their own take on the same exact word. In this last day, God is calling for the righteousness of his people to understand what he meant from the beginning, to understand where we must end up. He said, I am Alpha and Omega. I am the beginning and I am your ending. That means that before you even began, he what you were going to do in the end. How powerful is that? That's why the enemy fights us so much. He fights us so much to keep us from God, because he knows that we really get yoked up and get solid and stand firmly on the word of God and just completely lose our mind. Yeah, I mean, just go completely insane. See, to the natural man, that's a bad thing. It's bad to be crazy or out of your mind, if you will, and there's so many things now that it can cause you to do that. I'm seeing all kind of things that are happening in our world today, but if we lose our mind for the reason that we say, I'm not going to think what I need to do, I'm not going to question and try to figure out what I need to do, but I'm going to say, Lord, if you send me, I'll go. God, if you speak through me, I'll say whatever you tell me to say. God, if you wake me up at 2, 3 o'clock in the morning, I'm going to get up and begin to walk the floor. And I'm going to cry out to you, not even for myself, but if it's for my neighbor, God, if it's for my coworker, if it's for the man that I've seen stranded on the side of the road, if it's for the mother that I've seen walking to the bus stop with her babies, holding her hand and trying to make it. We've got to get into a place that we don't just hold it all for ourselves and for our family, but we got to pray for one another because we're yoked up. Remember, we came from the beginning, which is Adam and Eve, and when he created them both, we was in his understanding and in his mind and his image. We were there. He's seen your face. And the man has its rightful place, and we can't step out of the will and how God ordained it to be. That don't mean your job is no less than his. What it means is, women of God, we can do what God commands us to do and let the man of God do what he needs to do, because in the end, we got to come together. He says, when we all get together, what a time we're going to have. How are we going to complain and talk about what's going on down here? And I can't wait to get to heaven, y'all. We're not going to get to heaven if we can't get it together down here. That's why the enemy is fighting against the body like he never has before. He's not only jumping in families, but he's jumping on jobs. And he's coming in when you think you're going to work for the day. You go into the job, and it could be a shooting or it could be an accident. And have you seen so many cars running into buildings and people that are losing control? Everywhere you turn, there is tragedy all around. But how many of you know that it's all in God's hand? It's all in the palm of his hand. He created it and allowed it to be, and that's what we have to remember. God ordained this to happen. Let's look at Job for just a moment. We know Job went through all kinds of things. He was an upright man. Job had everything you thought you needed in the time that he lived in. He was a very wealthy man and very well must look upon in the community and, as you will, as a man that knew what he was doing. But there was a conversation in heaven one day, and the enemy went to God and said, you know what, Job, you know, he's only that way because you got a hedge around him, you protecting him. But God and who he is, this just shows you the majesty of God. He said, you know what? I'll remove the hedge, and you can do what you want to Job, but you can't touch his soul because that belongs to me. That's why it says, when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for me, my soul cries out, because I know I'm not the only one. There's times you don't feel like lifting your hands and you don't feel like opening your mouth and saying a word. You don't want to move your feet. You don't want to get dressed and go to the house of the Lord or even get up to get down on your knees when you're at home. But how many of you know that there is a reason and there is a purpose? And if you go before the throne, he will meet you right where you are. And as the enemy touched Job and everything Job had, everything. Job got so much to the point, as I sum it to a shortness of, we all know the story and have an understanding of how Job went down. It's in the book of Job, but everything Job went through, it was for a reason. And when Job was down to nothing, even his body began to come against him, and he cursed the very day that he was born, but he dared not touch his God because he knew that it was for a reason. And how many of you know that God turned around and blessed him better than what he had? I brought that up as to say that everything that you're going through, your season, your storms, they're forming because God said they have a job to do, because he wants to bring out the greatness in you. He wants you to be able to know that when you cross over and you see, he says to you as you stand before him, and he says, enter in, well done, thy good and thy faithful servant. You're going to have a reason to walk into heaven, running there, if you will, and praising him and blessing him and magnifying him. But the blessing of it is, you don't have to wait till you get there. The word of the Lord said, don't wait till the battle is over, but you can praise him right now. So what that means is, how crazy is that to say you're going? The military of all the branches would tell you, you know how they say, don't count all your eggs and you know your until you they hatch, you know, just wait. But in the word of the Lord and in God, we can bless it. We can praise God in the midst of the storm. We can praise God no matter what we're going through, racked with pain, even if we can't lift our hands, we can still give God the praise because we know that it's for a reason. Don't allow your emotions to consume you to the point that you lose the presence of the living God. When a storm comes, just lift your hands and say, God, what do you want me to hear and to see? God, where do I need to go? And I guarantee you, you either put a song in your spirit or you'll put a word in your heart. And next thing you know, you get this pat in the finger. You may not even know the whole song. It might just be a piece of the song. It just may be a remix. But in the midst of that, as you begin to sing, you feel like, oh, I feel better. Okay, I feel the presence of God. I feel like I can go just a little bit further. I feel I can walk just a little bit further. That's why you understand that there is a God and he will never leave you, nor will he forsake you. And as I spoke in Isaiah, the word of the Lord declares about an eagle. And my favorite animal, I call it my mascot, not to belittle it, but just because I feel there these days, I just need a little push. You know, I just need a little something to encourage me. So in my room, in my office, there's nothing but pictures of eagles all around. And it's not because it's about the American thing, but it's bigger than that. And it's the bald eagle. There's different eagles, but my favorite is the bald eagle because people fear he's just a show bird. They say they're just using him because he looks good and he looks kind of, you know, firm and confident in himself. But now that gold and that harpy, that's a powerful eagle. But just let me deal with the bald eagle for just a few minutes. The bald eagle, when it first is conceived and it comes forth and it comes out of the shell, it looks like a little gray fur ball, really. It's nothing really nice to look at. It looks like a fur ball. And the mother, if you've ever seen, I've seen one in person, an eagle will prepare the nest. And do you know an eagle's nest can weigh as much as 1 ton? 1 ton, and it can be 6 to 7 feet across. Just one eagle is giving forth, and an eagle has made it for life. The eagle is mated for life. In other words, there's a male and a female, and they're together, and they will continue to mate until one either takes and leaves, or, and I mean leave, I mean like die. That's how long they're together. And as they're in there, they prepare their chicks, and they're going through the process. Well, every process as the baby begins to mature, the eaglet begins to mature, the mother bird is taking out a piece of the comfort. And, you know, they put all kind of good things in there and feathers and fur, everything they can put in the nest to make it comfortable. But as the bird begins to mature, they begin to take things out of the nest to make it uncomfortable. You see where I'm going? They make it uncomfortable, and the fur changes to feathers. Feathers are like brown and shades of tan, and they become an adolescent, but the mother and father are still taking stuff out of the nest. And after a while, the bird feels, well, wait a minute, this was uncomfortable. This once comfortable nest, they can't find no comfort. Well, mom and daddy say, okay, it's time for you to go. We done fed you long enough. We done prepared the way long enough. Now it's time for you to go spread your wings. How many of you know that God is saying, I'm letting you get out of this comfort place? You done got too comfortable. You done got too lackadaisy. Or you can quote scripture after scripture, but not only can you quote, but can you live the scripture that you are quoting? We've got to get out of the thing that we can stand up and say, oh, we can quote it. For God I live, for God I die. John 3:16, for God so loved the world. But do you understand the essence of what that means? We've got to not just read the word, but we have to study the word. And as the eagle had come out of the nest, it first of all, it gets out and it takes its flight. And the more it flies and flaps its wing as an adolescent, it begins to mature. And the maturity comes from that white beak of the top, or the bill of the top, the head, the head dressing, if you will. That's when it becomes white, becomes it comes along with the seasoning. And those feathers that were once tanned and immature, elongate, and they become beautiful brown feathers. And those talons get bigger and stronger. And an eagle is a powerful thing for one reason that I really, really love it. This one particular reason. When a storm comes, most birds will hover down in their trees or their nests. They'll hover in there and they won't move. But an eagle, a bald eagle in his boldness and his beauty, oh, it gets in the biggest storm that it can find. It don't flap its wings. What it does, it gets out there and it spreads them 6 to 7 feet long wings, and it spreads them out and let the wind and the waves and the turmoil and the chaos of the storm lift them to higherness. It takes them up higher. And that's why it says a bald eagle can glide. In other words, the storm is doing its job. It's doing what God has ordained it to do. The eagle ain't got to work and do anything. All it's got to do is just sit there and let God be God. And that's why I love the eagle, because in the midst of everything it went through to be birthed and to come forth, and many times a lot of the eggs are robbed by predators of other birds. Other birds will eat an eaglet if it's left alone for too long. But all that it went through, when it gets to that place and it went through the storm and the rain and everything that it went through, it just glides and the storm takes it up higher and higher and higher. When it gets up so high, it just stands there and it just basks in the glory of the Lord. Because how many of you know that above the storm there's blue clouds? Have you ever been inside of an airplane and you're sitting there and it's a little turbulence and it gets a little rough, but as long as that pilot, a lot of times it's telling them to climb. So you have to realize, even though I'm in the valley, and even though I'm going through and it seems like everything is against me and my back is against the wall and I'm against a rock and a hard place and I can't see my way out, but how many of you know that the God that we serve, the God that has made everything, the God that breathed life into you in the womb of your mother, the same God, he said, I'm standing with you, I'm holding you, I'm undergirding you if you just lift your hands and spread your wings, if you will, and allow this storm that I created. The blessing of it is that the creator of storms is not Mother Nature, as I said earlier, but it is the God of God, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and he is your Father. He belongs to you. Do you think your Father would let you go through something if he didn't know what was going to be on the other side? A Father that truly loves you and cares for you is going to take you where he wants you to go, that you can be your best self. And all God wants us to do is to be our best self in him. Even though your body may be going through and the finances and the money may not be where you want it to be, but how many of you know that it has a job to do? And that's why I love, too, about the olive. The olive is pressed. It's pressed and pressed. And the more that it's pressed, it brings out that fresh oil. And in order for oil to come from an olive, it has to be transformed from its formal self down to almost absolutely nothing. Don't you know the greatest of things come from the worst of things? The fresh oil comes from the olive. And doesn't the word declare, if I would have a grain, just a grain the size of a mustard seed. That means you can take a mustard seed and crush it and just get a piece of that. If you have just a small piece of that, God said, I'll increase your faith. Just the grace of God alone is your covering and your protection. Now, as I've spoken, as God gave me St. Luke, and, you know, we all like to shout off a certain parts of the scripture. We can't pick the scripture part and only dance what we want to dance on. That's not how it goes. That's like me, Mama fixed a full meal and made onions and liver and onions, and to me, I wasn't a fan of that. But Mama would make it look so good, and she would never say what it is. She'd just say, dinner is served, and I come downstairs, and we got pork chops for dinner. All right. Mama bought pork chops, and I'm not too crazy on all kind of vegetables, but there was a few there, and I'm excited eating my vegetables. And you know, sometimes you save the best for last, and I didn't eat up all my vegetables. I got to the pork chop, and I'm getting ready to cut into it. This one particular meal, and I'm getting ready to cut into it. I got excited. I'm going to eat a pork chop, and I bit into that, and immediately my taste buds said, no, that's not a chop. No, that's something else. And Mama didn't say nothing. And I looked, I knew I better not have spit it out because Mama had prepared it. I didn't want to discard what Mama had given me. And every fiber of my being, I was trying to, it seemed like it tasted like a rubber leather shoe. I was eating the sole, the shoestring, the eye hoop, everything. The more I chewed, the bigger that little piece got. And finally, when I got it down, I declare it went down like a tire. And what that reminded me, and I was a child when that happened. I mean, don't be deceived by what it looked like, but you better find out what it is before you jump all the way in. So in other words, what I'm saying to you is don't get excited from the outside, but you better know the inside. You better know where God is taking you. And even sometimes when you don't, no, you still rejoice because the key word I said, God, he's the one that's at the helm. He's the one that's driving. And everybody going around here say, oh, Jesus, the wheel. You got comedians saying it. And everybody now has something to say. Oh, God is so good. But at the same time, they think they can serve him the way that they want. God has given us a blueprint through his word that we must follow. And we don't pick it apart, but we take the whole loaf. We take every morsel of it. And that it is to instruct us. And I never thought that I would ever say this when I was younger. I didn't believe it. And Mama, one thing I love my mother to death as my queen. I love her to death. And Mama would not just hit me without me knowing or just whoop me without me knowing it was coming. Oh, Mama liked to sit me down, and she wanted to give me this story and tell me what I did. I know what I did. I'm just trying to get out of it. Why we got to communicate about it? Mama would tell me and explain it to me, and then right before she got ready to discipline me, whether with her hand or whatever she was using, Mama didn't get crazy with it. Mama had one thing, one little piece of a belt, one little piece. It wasn't nothing. To me, it looked like it was the size of a rowboat, a paddle. Mama just used just a little piece of that. But what got me is right before she got ready to discipline, Mama never beat me, but Mama spanked me. There was a difference. She spanked in love. She brought forth correction because I was living in this flesh, and I thought I was big and bad and to that extent. But what I loved, I said I wouldn't understand. Mama, right before she said, this is going to hurt me more than it's going to hurt you. I love you, and I'm doing this so you don't get out there in this world and get too crazy. Somebody else is beating on you, trying to knock you down, and you done took from somebody, and somebody done killed you. And I'm sitting there saying, well, if you love me, don't do anything. Don't spank me. I value my skin. I value it, and Mother never broke the skin, none of these things. But now that I have grown up and I have become and matured into a woman, I thank God for it. And Mama didn't do it all the time. It was just when I got to a place that I just didn't want to understand. In other words, it was just like a quick thing. Mama had to bring the flesh subject. It's the same thing with God. People are going to say, oh, God is punishing me. Oh, this is a crime. Oh, he's doing me wrong. No, no, no. It's because he loves you. It's because he cares. He allows us to go through. But the blessing is you don't go through it by yourself. He said, I'm with you every single step of the way. I know most of you remember the poem, The Footprints in the Sand. Everybody got excited about that again. When he said, I look back and going through the rest of times, and through those times, all I saw was one set. And then it says, okay, God, hey, I'm rejoicing. Oh, he's caring. But wait, you forgot. You still had to go through it. It didn't mean he took you out of it. You still walked through it. The difference was you had the help and the strength of God. When you were weak and you couldn't do it, you still had to go through it. God didn't take you out of the situation. He just helped you through it. So when that scripture in St. Luke, when it deals with the knowing the Lord's plan for your life, too, we always want to shout on that last part, to whom much is given, much is required. Oh, we go into a full dance. And we forget the beginning of the scripture. It says that if you know what God has told you to do, and you don't do what he told you, then you're going to get the stripes that is due unto you because, in other words, you knew better. You know how Mama gave you that look? You better sit down. I told you. Now, if you don't do what I tell you to do, this is what's going to happen. And my mother would never touch me without warning me or telling me first. In other words, the discipline of that magnitude was always the last thing. Always the last thing. In other words, God is patient. God is patient. Even though he made us, he's patient with us. He don't just throw us to the wolves like that. Now, some it's for a reason, but the majority of us, we start as babes. He knows the plan. He don't just throw you. A baby don't come here eating chicken and mashed potatoes. Have to come on the milk first. They come on the milk first. And then as their body matures, as they go through, then the food changes. You start out with a little cereal in the milk, just a little bit. And then you give it to them, you let them taste a little water, and then they graduate on and on to the babies. And next thing you know, by the end, they eat steak and chicken and you name it, everything. But it was a process, because if you give a newborn baby a steak, the majority of them, they're not going to even know what to do with it. It can choke them and take out their life. So if you do something out of the will of God, don't get upset at God because you went through the storm and the rain before you were supposed to. That was your choice. But if you just stand still and say, Lord, I'm going to walk in your ordered step. And as Psalm says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And we know down in that scripture says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. It didn't say, no, I'm not going to walk. Yea means you go walk through the valley. But yea, though I walk through the valleys of the shadows of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound, God, of a sound mind. So back in St. Luke, we don't shout off for the too much as gift, because that means if you're not doing what you're supposed to do and you get that good whooping or you get that good chastisement, understand you had it coming. But the blessing of it is that even though you have it coming, because we're not going to all do everything God tells us to do, it's not going to always be spontaneous. Sometimes we may not know exactly how to do, but that's why you go to him and ask God for understanding. Ask God for greater. Ask God, how do I do more? God, what can I do to improve or to change what I'm going through? Remember that it's a purpose. And if you talk to God, please understand he will speak back to you. And a lot of times it may not even be him's voice speaking, but you got to remember your soul is him. So God don't even have to speak. Your soul knows what God is saying all by itself, because it is God inside of you. That's why no one can touch the soul but God. No one can touch the soul but God. And the only way that the enemy can even get to that area close to the soul is if God allows. So when I begin to understand that everything that I'm going through is a part of God's plan, I'm just in a season of my life that the storm has to form in order for it to do its job and for me to do my job. I'm not going to let the enemy, the devil, beat me doing my job, him doing it better than me. Absolutely not. Because I know where I can end up. Because I can guarantee you, I can almost guarantee you, if God was to say to the devil right now, all right, you know what? I changed my mind. You can come on in. I guarantee you there would be no sin in the land from the devil. It would be what everybody else is choosing to do. Because the devil knows what's in heaven. He knows he's lost. He missed out when he thought he was bigger and badder than God, and that's a deeper conversation, but just I'm going to touch on it. He knows what's up there. That's why he fights so hard to keep you from going. He don't want to go to hell by himself. Nobody want to go there. And do you notice that the word of the Lord declares that hell is enlarging itself? You never hear that heaven is enlarging. But hell is enlarging since God put it together, and that's the beauty of God. He knew who was going to go and who wasn't going to go. He knew who was going to serve him and who wasn't. God is so awesome if you just stop and read about who God is and what God is all about. And we're so caught up by things. So many things are distracting us from knowing the plan that he has for us as in St. Luke, from keeping us from being our best self through the storms and the rains as in Isaiah. And then when we get to the place that we're weeping and we're crying, we forget that the end of that scripture said, but joy cometh in the morning. That means in order to go through night, there has to be a morning. And you can't go through the morning without going through the night. You have to have them both together. You have to. So my brother and my sister, please understand, if nothing else, that the Lord has spoken and given to this vessel tonight, because remember, the word comes to the messenger first and then to those that are partakers and hearers of the word. So I hear the Spirit of the Lord say, this is your season. This is your day, as the song said. A fresh anointing is coming your way, a season of power and of love and of prosperity. We get excited because we think that that means a new house or a car. And I'm not saying it doesn't mean that, but it's not about that, because everything shall pass. Everything shall pass away but the word of God. And we know that the word of God will not return unto the Lord void. So that means if you just study and put the word down in every fiber of your being and get the word in your mind and in your hands and in your feet and in your legs and give God the praise that he deserves, it's for a reason. It's a job that must be done for you to bring out your best self. Oh, you know the devil don't like you. Oh, yeah, he talked to me, let me know. He said, you know, I don't like you. I said, okay. You know, I hate you. So I said, okay. And then I was loved when he says that to me, because I get to say my favorite statement to the devil, and the feeling is mutual. And as a matter of fact, I despise you even more because I know what you're all about. Don't let the devil talk you down out of nothing. Remember who he is. He is the father of lies. He is the prince of the air. So even though God gave him a job and kicked him out of heaven, even though God kicked him out of heaven, he gave him a job to do. Because in heaven, Only the ones that have been through the storm and the rain and been through trials and tribulation, have been through much travail, they are the only ones that will cross over and be able to stand in the angelical heaven and the choir begin to say, I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Thank God for sending his only begotten son to die on the cross for you and for me. It's your season. Let the storm form, because it has a job to do. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, for they shall soon be cut off and withered as the green herbs. And only what you do for Christ will last. Thank God for the word. Be blessed, my brother and my sister. Let us continue to pray one for another. To God be the glory. Amen and amen. Hallelujah.
Amen, amen, and amen. Glory to God. Let the storms come, because they have a purpose, in the name of Christ Jesus. Evangelist, we thank you so very much for the word of God. It is a season, a time in your life that God has prepared just for you, and we want you to walk into it knowing that God won't do anything that's going to cause you harm. It might build you up because it hurt a little here and it scarred you a little there, but he's not going to cause you harm without a purpose. And so we thank God for the word tonight, and we declare and decree that it is our season. It is our time. There is a purpose for our lives, and we will glorify God through the storm, through the rain, every trial, every tribulation. We will put our foot on the enemy's neck and let him know that he has no reign, no rule, or power over me and my situation, and knowing that God is doing it all. And so we thank you so very much for the word of God, because it is truly a blessing, and it is a blessed word tonight that you have ministered. And I pray to God this won't be your last time on the Light of Portland broadcast, Evangelist. And I ask that you and all of those that have tuned in would continue to support the ministry. We are here every Sunday evening at 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And for us right now, we are on the East Coast, so it is almost midnight for us. But we are excited about the word of God that brings us great joy. And so we want to invite you out to St. Paul Missionary Baptist Church, August the 6th through the 10th, from 7 p.m. to 8:30, for their vacation Bible school. The theme is Determined and Unstoppable with God. St. Paul is located at 8101 North Fifth Avenue in Portland, Oregon. And the phone number for contact for the Vacation Bible School is Renee Taylor at 503-289-0147. And also on Saturday, August the 25th, St. Paul Missionary Baptist Church will have a Women Under Construction service. Demolition of the old, construction and building the new woman. And our very own Pastor Regina Zachary and Pastor Kimberly Black will be the guest speakers. Again, that is August the 25th at 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. You don't want to miss it. Again, 8101 North Fifth Avenue. There is fire in our city. There is a word from God in Portland, Oregon, and you don't want to miss what the Spirit of the Lord has to say to you. Just as tonight, greater is coming. Your season and your time is here, but you've got some work that you have to do on your end in order to receive receive what God has prepared for you. That's why during the storm and during the rain, you've got to understand that you might get a little wet, your clothes might get a little soggy, your hair might get a little messed up, but in the end, God has a blessing that's going to grow you and prepare you for your next level in glory. Again, Evangelist, we thank you so very much for the word of God. It is truly inspired by God, and we are grateful for you this evening. Amen.
Amen. To God be the glory. To God be the glory.
Amen. And so we pray tonight that the Lord would bless you. We pray for each of you that the blood of God will keep you. We pray that God will make his face to shine upon you, lifting his countenance unto you and giving you both peace and prosperity, both now and forevermore. In the name of Christ Jesus, we thank you so much for tuning in to the Light of Portland broadcast and hope you join us again next Sunday evening by dialing 917-388-4161. Thank you and be blessed. Good night.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.